3.
Genesis chapter 3.
Last week we introduced to you a series of sermons that we will be starting on women. We had our introductory lesson last week, and in Genesis chapter 3 we will start with the first woman. And the first woman in the Bible is Eve, so we'll start with Eve. Eve is the right. It says in Genesis 3:20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Now, I think, anyway, that Eve was probably beautiful. She was created from the very hands of God, from the rib of Adam. And she was a special gift to Adam. And she was a necessary partner who made his existence, look at chapter 2 and verse 18, who made his existence complete. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." So she was a necessary partner who made his existence complete. And you, I don't know if you ever thought about this, her existence completed all of creation. She was the last thing that God created. And it's interesting, everything else was either created from nothing, except Adam. He was created from what? The dust. But she was created from Adam. She came from his rib. In her original state, she was undefiled from evil. She was unblemished from any disease or any defect. She was unspoiled by no imperfections at all. Eve was flawless. Eve would have been like magnificent in every way. We find out that when we meet people today, they're not magnificent in every way after we get to know them. But, you know, but she was. Since she was the only woman, and there's only one other man too, by the way. But since she was the only woman who had ever been unfallen or never in a fallen nature, I doubt that you could surpass her grace or her charm or her virtue or her ingenuity or her intelligence or her wit or her pure innocence. Now, the Bible does not describe anything about her physical description. I think she was beautiful, but it doesn't say. The focus of the biblical account on Eve is this: her duty to the Creator, her duty to God, and her role alongside of her husband, which remind women today who are obsessed with image and cosmetics and body shapes and other external matters, that they really, in all honesty, have a very distorted view of femininity, because that's not what femininity is. The things I mentioned earlier about Eve, that really is what it is. The biblical account helps us get a balance of this, of what a woman's true priorities ought to be. I found this interesting, but her name, if you look it up in a concordance, is only mentioned 4 times. 2 times in the Old Testament, 2 times in the New Testament. I mentioned this, her physical description is not given in any of them. I don't know how many children she had. I don't know how long she lived. I don't know where she died, and I don't even know how she died. But what we do have are the aspects of her life that are most significant. I'll probably speak a little bit longer this evening than normal, but tonight I want to talk about her creation. So let's read Genesis chapter 2 and beginning in verse 20. Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." God did surgery on Adam. Adam was the very first person to ever go under anesthesiology. And so doctors think they came up with something. They should have read their Bible in the first couple, 3 chapters, and they would have figured out that God put Adam to sleep. Adam did not really ask God for a wife. God simply showed him kindness. God did it as an expression of his grace and his benevolence to Adam because he really knew what Adam needed. Adam's side was opened. A rib was taken out. It was closed up. I wonder about that stuff. When I go have surgery, I've had two surgeries in my life. When I had my appendix out, it was awful painful. When I had open heart surgery, it didn't hurt at all. I never took a pain pill. It didn't bother me. I don't ask me why. They cut your chest. They split your bone open, pry your chest apart, put it back together. If you take an x-ray of my chest, it looks like there's dread ties on that bone that goes down through there where they just tied it together. Never hurt. Never took a pain pill. Never one. My appendix, they about wanted to kill me. And the day I got out of the hospital, I went to the stock car races. Oh, that was the stupidest idea ever. Mike Glade, was it? No, I forget who was with me. We walked to he wanted to sit at the top. I mean, seriously? I walked all the way to the top. I'm in agony. You want a drink? I'm like, no, I don't want a drink because if I get a drink, I got to go to the bathroom, and I'm not going to the bathroom. I don't want a drink. I don't want any food, and I never turn down food. But I don't want nothing. Just leave me alone and let me sit here. But in paradise, there was probably no pain. There was probably no ability for infection. And maybe Adam didn't even have a scar. Maybe. So God took from Adam a rib that evidently he would not miss and made the one thing that he lacked and that he needed. And you know what he needed? He needed a soulmate. That's what he needed. She is a wonderful illustration of the goodness of God's grace and the perfect wisdom of God's will. She met his needs. She met his needs for companionship. She was a source of joy and gladness, and she made possible the procreation of the human race. She completed him perfectly, and she really enhanced everything about his existence. And I think when Adam woke up from his surgery, I think he simply said something like, wow, look at that. He'd never seen a woman before, and I think she was immediately beautiful in his eyes. He was overjoyed with a sense of wonder, genuine delight, abiding satisfaction. And it said in verse 23 where he said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She was a priceless treasure to be cherished, a worthy partner to encourage him. That's why God created, so that she would be encouragement to him. He felt a deep personal attachment to Eve. She was a priceless treasure, a partner to encourage him, pleasing spouse who would love him in return. I listen to sports. I mentioned last week about the sports guy that punched his wife. You know, there really is no place for men to punch women. I don't know, you know, why that happens from time to time. People can't control themselves. They can't control their temper. They can't control their anger or whatever. But generally speaking, 1 Peter 3:7 talks about the woman is the weaker vessel. And if you know a woman who's abused, you ought to do something about it. You really ought to. If you're being abused yourself, you ought to do something proactive to get it to stop. Or if you have it's just ridiculous. Something like that would happen. I can see people getting frustrated but I don't understand that, quite frankly. I don't get it. But it happens. Eve's creation is very carefully recorded. Now, why is it recorded? Because there are truths about womanhood in her life. First one is this. It speaks of her fundamental equality with Adam. They shared the same essential nature. She was the same. She was not inferior. She was not made only to serve him, although without him, he was incomplete. She was his perfect mate, and she was his perfect companion, and it shows that. It also illustrates how deep and meaningful the marriage of a husband and a wife is designed to be. This is more than a physical union. It's a union of her heart and a union of the soul. And she was Adam's complement, and she was designed by God to be the ideal soul companion of him. Now, the intimacy of her relationship with her husband derives from her being taken literally from his side. Matthew Henry was the first person that said this. But the woman was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not made of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be beloved. Jesus said in Matthew 19, and he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Thirdly, her creation contains some lessons about the biblical role of a woman. Now, Eve was spiritually and intellectually Adam's equal. He's not up here, and she's down here somewhere. That's not what happened. They were both of the same nature, and therefore they were equal in their standing before God and in their rank above all the other creatures. There is, however, a very clear distinction in their earthly roles. This was by God's design. And so, I know that may have sounded somewhat wordy to you, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that is shows some distinctions in the roles of a husband and a wife. Adam was first created, and then Eve was made to fill a void in his existence. Some people won't agree with this. Adam had a relationship with God, but that relationship in of itself was not enough for Adam. So God provided him Eve. Adam was the head. Eve was the helper. Adam was designed to be the father, the provider, the protector, and the leader. That was God's design. Eve was designed to be a mother, a comforter, a nurturer, and a helper. Nature, 1 Corinthians 11 again, even nature teaches us some of these things. We are bodily and hormonally different. We are. God created men one way and women another way. We don't think alike. We'll never think alike. God didn't create us to think alike. You ever seen, I should have brought that copy of the Man Laws over. Have you ever read a copy of the Man Laws? You know, they're very, and quite honestly, they're not all that far off if you want to know the truth. One of them is this. You complain if we leave the seat up. We need the seat up. You need the seat down. Do we ever complain? Well, hello there. Do we ever complain when the seat is up? So why should you complain when the seat is down? You know, if it's just a man rule. Saturday equals sports. It makes sense. Makes perfect sense. But so we're different. We are different socially. We are different emotionally. We are different psychologically. So there are fundamental differences between them, and it's no secret that they have different roles. The different roles come from the Bible. The different roles do not come from some feminist group. So God created them different with a purpose, and his plan for them reflects their differences. Scripture tells us that wives are subject to their authority of their husbands. Now let's look at some of those passages of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 5. This is part of her role. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. If you would please go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And then 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us, as soon as I get to 1 Peter chapter 3, Verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they beheld your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair or the wearing of gold or the putting on of an apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy men also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. And they are also under the authority and the instruction of the men in the church. Now, I don't know how to say this nicely, but I'll just say it. Many women today in our age, they're not going to submit to a man. They're just not going to do it. I know several guys that go to a particular church that they don't like, and the only reason they go is because their wives, that's where their wives want to go, and the wives won't budge. And so they submit to the wife as opposed to the wife submitting to the husband, and that's what they do. Now, there is a passage in this, and I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 11, this is where Paul will defend, and there's other passages as well, 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 14, where it talks about the women are to keep silent in the church and all that. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. So Paul defends the principle of male leadership within the church. Now, I mentioned this last week, but I want to mention this again tonight. If you go back to verse 13, Adam was first formed and then Eve. Some people place women's subjection to the husband is a result of the fall. It has nothing to do with the fall. A woman's subjection to her husband is part of creation. Adam was first formed and then Eve. So that's not anything to do with the fall. It was simply that way by order. And the principle of male leadership is designed from creation. When Scripture assigns men the role of headship in the church and in marriage, that really reflects God's blueprint as the Creator. But I think this. I think if both men and women would embrace God's purpose and seek to fulfill the roles that God has designed for our respective genders, both men and women would be happier, the church would be healthier, and marriages would be stronger. Now, please get this. Although Eve was given a subordinate role, she remained Adam's spiritual and intellectual equal. She was his helper. She was not his supervisor. She was not a slave. She was his helper. And by calling her Adam's helper or helpmeet, Scripture stretches the mutuality and complementary nature of this partnership between Adam and Eve. Eve was no way inferior to her husband, but she was nonetheless given the role that was subordinate to its leadership. So you could say subordinate yet equal. Now, where do we find, I think, the best illustration for that? The Trinity of God. Christ is in no sense inferior to the Father. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." He has eternally existed in the form of God, and he is equal with God, Philippians 2:6. John said, in John 10:30, where Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." You know John 1:1 and 2. Yet the Son, turn to John chapter 5. in verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. John 8:29. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And you remember when he was in the garden and he prayed, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine. So Jesus submitted himself to the Father. But that does in no way make the Father greater than the Son. They were equal. So in 1 Corinthians 11:3 it said, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. But that doesn't make Jesus inferior to the Father. So, quite honestly, if you want to know how two people who are truly equal can have a relationship where one is the head and the other submits, you don't have to look any further than the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. God himself is the pattern for such a relationship. Now, here is a simple summary. Men and women, though they are equal, have different roles. But, and I've tried to stress this, women are in no sense intellectually or spiritually inferior to men. But they were clearly created for a distinctive purpose. That's why God created them. Eve's position, after creation and before the fall, was that of being in a subordinate position to her husband. She was under his headship. Yet she was in many ways an even more glorious creature. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 7. They were partners, companions, fellow laborers in the garden. God dwelt with Adam as head of the human race, and Eve was accountable to her husband. So far from consigning Eve to a menial servanthood or a state of domestic enslavement, this arrangement allowed for her liberality. And you could say that this was true paradise. Adam and Eve constituted a perfect picture of the human race as God designed it. Perfect picture. But it was all ruined by one thing. Sin. And so tonight, all we looked at was Eve's creation, made in a very special way. But next week, looking at Eve's temptation. But it was a beautiful, beautiful harmony while they were there in paradise. Father, we've tried to stress for the last 2 weeks the importance of seeing women equal with men, yet at the same time maintaining a subordinate role. We see the beautiful picture of it in the Trinity when our Savior submitted to the Father. We pray that we could have such families that work together in this type of harmony and companionship and partnership, teammates. Just, God, raise strong families. Strengthen all of our families. And the young people that will be one day, going off and starting their own families, may they have strong, solid biblical families as well. In Jesus' name, amen.